So we've been going through the book of Colossians. I almost said Galatians. Colossians, and honestly, we haven't spent a lot of time there recently, usually attacking one subject or another that's kind of mentioned in the book in the first few verses. And so this morning, I kind of wanted to tie up verses 1 through 8. Just go through it, bring back up some of the things we've talked about and the things that are brought up here, maybe add a little to it, and then just close up that section so we can move on with the book so we're not losing track of the book itself and getting lost in some of the subject matter. So, if you'd open your Bibles to Colossians 1:1, and we'll just go through these verses and little section by little section and try to bring it all together. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Let's stop there. I don't think we talked about apostleship at all, so I just want to touch on that just for a second. An apostle is a messenger, someone sent. In Paul's case, he's not sent by a church as a missionary, which is also sometimes referred to kind of as an apostle. A missionary is, in a way, an apostle of a church. So we could send out someone to, you know, if we brought up someone, you know, and we feel he's ready, we could send him out to another church or overseas as a missionary, and he's technically an apostle. But with Paul, it's a little different. Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Just to take a closer peek at that, Galatians 1:1 is a little bit more specific. Another introduction of Paul's. He starts, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men nor through the agency of men. So the assumption there is that those types of apostles also exist, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And then, of course, back in Colossians, it's Paul and Timothy, our brother. Let's move on to the saints and faithful brethren who are at Colossae. Something else we didn't talk about yet is saints. In this particular passage, and there's disagreement on this, and I'm not going to get deeply into it, but the saints and faithful brethren leads me kind of to think Paul sometimes refers to the Jews as the saints. That is, that not that we're not saints also, but the Jewish people are a chosen people of God. Now, saint means holy one or someone who is set apart. And the Jews were set up, were the nation that was set apart by God, his people. Special people for his own possession, and we are part of that now, but Paul has a special love, of course, for the Jews, as he's described in several places in Scripture, in one case even saying that he'd be willing to be accursed for the sake of the Jewish people, that they would come to Christ and understand the gospel and become obedient to God. So Paul has a heart for his own people, and he does in some places seem to refer to them as the saints, not to keep us apart from the saints. We are also part of those. In fact, he kind of mentions that in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, talking to the whole group, both the saints and the faithful brethren, to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So we're part of that, but it seems to me that in some of these cases, he is, like in this first verse, it feels like he's referring to the saints as being the Jews, or more specifically, the Christian Jews. And we'll see that here in a second as well, I think, and a couple verses further. So to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We talked about this already pretty thoroughly, grace and peace. Peace, of course, because God is no longer against us. The sin is forgiven, and that sin that separated us from the presence of God has been taken care of, and now there's peace. But also grace, which I really enjoyed the study on grace. If you weren't here, I'm sorry. Grace seems to be almost a desire. When God has grace for you, it's that you're in a position of Him wanting to bless you. He almost desires to do things for you. It's the feeling kind of that a father has towards his children when he's pleased with them. How can I help them? What do they need to succeed better in life? That's how God feels towards us. In fact, just thinking about this morning was very helpful to me. I had a rough morning. And then I got here, I found out I almost burnt down the church this week. We can tell you about that later. Well, I left the oven on Tuesday. By the way, if you're not coming on Tuesday, or if you're interested in coming Tuesday mornings, we don't talk about it that often, but Tuesday evenings, I said mornings. Tuesday evenings, we do music here, and we do praise, and we have a meal together. That's where I left on the oven. I was cooking some food. If you can come, that would be great. It's a great time. But I was a little depressed this morning after I found that out, and I already had a rough morning.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's okay. It happened. So I had to go and pray, and some of these verses came to mind. Just, you know, God is for me. He's not against me. Some of the things this morning, too, that I'm hearing that we need to pray for. Great reminder. We have peace with God, even when our world kind of feels like it's falling apart. We have peace and His favor. Moving forward, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, our Father, grace and peace from God our Father. Yeah. God is our Father, and then it keeps going. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think He kind of purposely does that, where He brings up first that He's our Father. We have grace and peace from Him. But then we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is the Father, more specifically the Father of our boss, Jesus, the Anointed One. Lord meaning boss, and Christ meaning Anointed One. So, And then he says, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. And there's that word saint again. The love which you have for all the saints. Paul seems to be, and this is just conjecture, but I'm going to bring in a couple other verses, because I feel that Paul is bringing up his interest, which is, again, his Jewish people, and specifically the poor, right from the beginning. He was interested in helping the Jewish people, the poor especially. And he refers to them often in his letters. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 16:1.
Again,
1 Corinthians 16:1. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the church in Galatia, so do you also, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. And let's jump from there to Romans 15. Romans 15, starting in 25. But now I am going to Jerusalem. This is Paul speaking. Now I'm going to Jerusalem serving the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things. They are indebted to minister to them also in material things. And there's kind of this, you got rich off of them, now they need to get rich off of you, kind of bringing things into balance. In Galatians 2:7, we're not going to go there, but it also talks about balance, if I recall. I was recently thinking about the Jewish nation, or Israel as it is now. And a lot of people, a lot of churches put a lot of emphasis on Israel. And when I was young, a lot of churches talked a lot about it and the rebuilding of the temple in the future. And for some reason, I always struggled with this. I've never been to Israel. I've known only a couple Jews in my life. Mark, who's one of us sometimes, he's a Jew. I like him. But I don't know the Jews. And so, like, this idea of loving the Jews and caring for them and blessing them feels weird to me, because I feel very disconnected from that. So recently I've been doing there's an organization called Pod for Israel. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that. I guess the Jews spend a lot of time on the internet. Like, we spend a lot of time on the internet. Our youth spends a lot of time. But apparently in Israel, they make us look like we're not hooked on the internet. And a lot of them watch a lot of video. And so this company, Pod for Israel, they started capitalizing on that and making a lot of videos about Jesus and about the New Testament and the gospel. They are partly responsible. I'm sure there's many organizations and groups that are responsible, but they are at least in part responsible for evangelizing a lot of Israelites. When they first got started, there were like 30 in the country Christians, and now there's many, many Christians in Israel, and they have a huge hand in that. And they talk a lot about this issue of Jews and even the Arabs, of course, because that's a sensitive subject. But I was watching this one of their leaders talk about the concept of the Jews turning to Christ because they're jealous. It's talked about in Scripture, and they showed a video of this lady that was Muslim, grew up Muslim, hating Jews, despising Jews. The Muslims typically are taught to despise the Jews out of no particular personal reason. One of the reasons I was told by a Muslim when I was in Afghanistan was they killed Jesus. Jesus is in their scriptures, and I think he's called Esau in their scripture. And which is kind of weird. He's considered the greatest prophet who ever lived, even greater than Muhammad, believe it or not. But he's not God in their scripture, definitely not God. And and the Jews killed him. And so that's their view of the Jews, is they killed the greatest prophet. And so they hate the Jews. And so she came to know Jesus. And because of that, she absolutely loves the Jews, because Jesus was a Jew. And Jesus came from the Jews. And so salvation comes from the Jews. And so there's this thankfulness to the nation of Israel, because from them comes salvation. And so this natural hatred that is turned into absolute love and care for the Israelite people is the very thing that he says is going to turn Israel eventually. That is that driving to jealousy, that these people that hated us now love us, even though we don't even like their religion, but they love us because of what supposedly we brought them, and it creates this conflict within them that's, I don't know. I found it very interesting, to say the least. So, I gotta find my spot here again, sorry. Yeah, the love which you have for all the saints. There we are. So they are showing love to the Jews. And this is a main issue for Paul, is providing for the poor Jews. It does seem like the Jews at the time seemed like they were maybe a little bit more poor than some of the groups around them. It is kind of the assumption in some of these scriptures, it feels like. Yeah, yes?
We were studying in Acts, and I don't know if it was the same time period, but there was a time when the emperor kicked all the Jews out of Rome, and so then you have a lot of refugees.
Right. And that might be the reason. Yeah, thank you.
But I'm not very good at history, so... Might not be true.
Okay, so moving on, of which you... Okay, let's see, let's read it together. And the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. We talked about that, what was that, a couple weeks ago? Yeah, 2 and 3 weeks ago we talked about heaven, that there is... There's something that we're moving towards. There's a reward. And it's not wrong to be looking forward to that reward. And there is a hope. And there's an end to the suffering that we have here and the striving. And personally, I know that I look forward to it. As I find myself struggling every day, it seems like, to get more things done and then... more falls apart than I fixed. That's what it seems like sometimes. But in heaven, I think we're gonna not have that issue. Remember the Jews when they went through the desert, and it's my understanding that their shoes didn't wear out. You know, I kind of imagine that's what heaven is going to be like. If nothing else, not losing as much as you create would be fantastic, right? let's see. Moving on, the hope which you have in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, just as it has in all the world, also, just as in all the world, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing. So we know that the early church went through a lot of suffering, and it seems almost on purpose by God. I mean, it drove them out. It caused them to move. And And as they went, they changed lives. As they went, they spread the gospel. Because it was good news. Even when they're running away from persecution, they had good news and they brought it wherever they went. The king, even has been doing. Even as it has been doing in you since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God and truth. So the gospel came to them, and it caused them to grow in faith. It caused them to grow in obedience to Jesus. And as it did so, and it brought them joy, they spread it to their neighbors. And their lives were changed. And so the kingdom of God was growing in them and around them, just as in the entire, I don't know. I always feel weird about the entire world, right? Was it spreading in the Americas? But in all the known world at that time, it was definitely spreading. I'd like to think that the Spirit of God was moving even in places that the local people there could not get to. We hear stories of people in, through missionary stories, we hear of God working in people. Maybe they didn't have the whole gospel, but they knew about the Creator God. They knew about a God who created their hands, for example. There's a story along those lines. And so I'd like to think that even in places where the apostles, people like Paul and their underlings didn't get to, that the gospel was still being heard and maybe growing. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. You guys already know Epaphras brought the gospel to the Colossians and then ended up with Paul. I believe he was in prison as well for a while with Paul, imprisoned. And then he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Now, this was the last piece in this section that I was really struggling with. He informed us of your love in the Spirit. What is love in the Spirit? That's my first question. Well, it turns out it's actually not that big of a deal. It seems that Epaphras was just kind of saying, "Hey, Paul, the people over in Colossae, they pray for you. They love you." The word here is agape, and I thought I'd talk about that for just a minute. You guys have been taught lots about agape from Dan and from David Winchester here. And I can't help but throw in my two cents real quick. I'm not going to go deep into it, just some impressions that I've had in my studies about the word agape. Agape is translated love in most Bibles. And the reason I'm going to talk about it just for a second is because of this verse, because I was confused on what it was trying to say with my concept. I'm like, does it fit my concept of the word agape? So my concept of the word agape, the feeling that I get on it is that it is an actionable love. It's just love in action, kind of. There are different opinions on it. You guys know that a lot of churches have this sense that agape is God love. That's the only thing that it is. It's the kind of God that love that God has. And if you have agape, it's because he allows you to have it. Which, of course, everything we have is because he allows us to have it. But agape is actually not that spiritual, as Dan a couple times pointed out. Some of the Romans would agape good seats at the in the arenas. Not very spiritual at all. But something that David Winchester taught me was that almost nobody ever says I agape somebody or something. Usually it's something that's observed from someone else. With, I believe, the exception of God. God says he agapes us. But almost nobody says, hey, I agape this other person. But rather, it's something that's observed. And the impression that I always got is that if you agape something or someone, that something or someone is something or someone you would go out of your way for. Like you're going to do something for them. And that's why it's usually said of someone else, because you see their actions. You see somebody serving someone else and you go, oh, they're agape-ing them. And so that's why this was confusing to me. He also informed us of your agape in the Spirit. Well, how can it be that they're just saying, hey, they love you, Paul and Timothy, and use the word agape because they're not doing anything for Paul and Timothy because they're not even there. And I think that's why it's in the Spirit. I think they're praying for them. Like, hey, Paul, the people in Colossae, they care about you. They're praying for you. Maybe they're even reading some of his other letters. And in response, that's why they were spending extra time loving the saints. Maybe making collections, financial collections for the saints. Because that's what Paul said. So, but probably it's just they're praying for you. That's why they're agape in the Spirit. Which kind of makes sense because right after that in the next verse, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you. And then it goes into the prayer, which, Lord willing, we will get into starting maybe next Sunday. Oh, yeah. We are out of time. Any questions as we close this up, though? Because I don't want to get back into it. Yes, sir.
You know, you talked about the Muslims having this deal that the Jews had killed Jesus. That was not just the Muslims that was very prevalent.
Right.
It was quite a bit in Christian stuff. If you go back to when I was a young person in the 50s and 60s, a lot of churches felt that same way. I don't want to blame it just on them.
Right, sure. But that is the main hatred that they specifically have.
Yeah.
But you're right, there are others. And I have heard of Christian groups that feel that way.
Yeah, it was pretty prevalent. And I don't know what the groups are today, so I can't tell you.
Right.
Back in the 50s and 60s, when I was a young person, it was very prevalent.
Anybody else? Going once, going twice? Okay, let's pray. Lord God, I just want to thank you for your love, for the peace that we have with you, that you are for us. And Lord, I do ask that you give us a heart for the nation that you have chosen to display yourself through. People that you have chosen, Lord, help us to care about the Jews, your people, because you did come through them, Lord. I also ask that in general, thank you for the reminder that we got last week about evangelism, Lord. Your kingdom must grow, Lord. Your kingdom come and your will be done here in Tacoma, in our church, in our lives, as it is in heaven, Lord. May you be glorified and honored this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.